Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number two here on Danny and Dusty on a Wednesday afternoon. While you're listening on 1080 AM The Fan, watching along on YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. I forgot the URL the first split second. Sweet God. Or twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. Love you. We call that the Jeff Russ stroke when you just can't say words.
Words are hard sometimes.
What happens? Will Ordner in for Dusty. The boss man is boss manning today, at least, as we progress through the changes. As everybody knows, Dusty is now our boss, and we are in the co-host swing of it all. So he had to step out and handle a lot of business.
It is interesting. I was going through my Twitter bookmarks recently, and there is a Twitter bookmark of him and I in a GIF. Crotch chopping in this very studio.
There you go.
And it is very interesting that is now my boss.
Yeah, like, you might want to keep that one for later.
Have you hip thrusted and crotch chopped with your boss? Mm. And believe it or not, the answer is
yes.
Yes, I have.
Yes. We've all done very terrible non-public things with our now boss now, so we'll just keep that to ourselves. That's how it goes. But it is hour number two, and we are going to keep plugging along here in the football world. And obviously the explosion of the transfer portal, we really saw, I think the first like holy crap transfer class was at USC when Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma and just said, I'm going to take all the nice things and we're right. going to bring in, I think it was 18 transfers. And that was the first time we saw the whoa.
Yeah, it's either that crew or Jimbo Fisher had a year at A&M where he brought in a lot of guys where he just said, how much money would you like? Mm-hmm. Here you go.
And it doesn't really work like that too much now. Now, Indiana, it was Cignetti. He brought a metric crap ton of guys over from James Madison. Obviously, Deion Sanders brought a metric crap ton of people to Colorado.
Yeah, Florida State does it too with Norvell. It's same idea. It's not as...
not as prolific as it was when it first started. It's
right.
It still happens. There's still some schools, particularly, they're just going to make their mark doing that.
Right.
But I think we've gone past the perennial blue blood programs that are just going to go, yeah, we're going to do 20 transfers.
Right.
If a new coach gets to a location and you're trying to, like,
guys.
Or you're, like, again, like, you're at a place like Indiana, where you're not a traditional football power, you don't have a storied history to kind of fall back on. I don't think you're going to see that. And I think even to a lesser extent, you saw that with Jed Fish at UW, where he brought a handful of guys up with him. And DeBoer didn't bring a ton of guys to Alabama. There was a couple, but
It's because he couldn't. Most of his guys were already
they were in the NFL, gone.
They were done. They were old. They were an older
but
team.
But if you're moving up to a place like an Alabama, an Ohio State, something along those lines that has been a perennial power for a while, you're just not going to see that because they are the little engines, or not even the little engines. They are the big engines that can as opposed to could.
Right. Well, and I think you're going to see them be smarter about, like, we are weak in this position, so we're, instead of going and getting a bunch of quantity, it's let's go get quality. Like Oregon, right? Hey, our secondary is a little weak. Hey, Purdue, you have the best safety in college football right now. Here's $4 million to Dylan and Thinneman, and come in. And I don't know what his NIL is. I don't know if it's $4 million or whatever, right? I just said a number. But you are going to see that type of poaching more so now, where it's, hey, that guy's in the transfer portal. He is in a position where we are weak. You here, and how much do you want? We'll take care of you.
And Dylan Thinneman, the safety from Purdue, who Dusty saw up close and personal when the Ducks played Purdue last year, and he was like, dude's a stud.
We've talked
about him off air a ton. He's an NFL guy, and I think right now he's right on the edge of being a day one guy in the NFL.
Like, well, and what Purdue asked him to do just wasn't fair, yet he
still was able to do it.
He was playing safety at 20 yards deep. That's insane. And yet at the same point could still come into the box and make a tackle or two. And he's just a ball hawk, man. He's going to be at that free safety position for the Ducks, and they're going to let him just be an athlete.
Yeah, right. If you want to see, like, he's not the same player. I am not saying this, but I'm saying I'm likening him to this, and the ask of him at Purdue is similar to kind of Urlacher at New Mexico State, where he played free safety, he played strong safety, he played linebacker, he played basically everywhere, but it was like, just go be a football player. Go make plays. Go be disruptive. Go be all over the place. And you can do that on a team that doesn't have high aspirations. Like, we just want you to do the thing that you do. Be around the ball. And Thinneman falls in on this list from CBS Sports at number six as the most impactful transfer in college football. But to your point, the five players that are in front of him are guys that, at top-level programs, we go, okay, here's where we need to plug a spot. Ohio State does not return a single starter on their defensive line.
Yep.
Not one. Because why? They're all in the NFL.
And they were all old. Like, what people don't... Old, they're all younger than
me. They were all the 2000 or 2001 class, right? Or 2021, yes.
JTT and Sawyer, they were both fourth-year seniors, and then they had a lot of older guys, upperclassmen, that then went into the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. And so you knew they had to go and replace, and so what do? They go grab the best edge rusher out of North Carolina, a team that... Look, defensively, they had their weak points, but this kid was a stud.
Yeah.
He's able to get after the passer. And what Ohio State does that's a little bit different, and we'll see now that they lost Noel, their defensive coordinator, but with those edge players, they didn't get your speedster edge rusher, your Micah Parsons, your Carter out of Penn State, right? It's more of a power rusher. So Sawyer and JTT, they were going to play through the defensive or the offensive tackle and use their strength and positioning to win reps. So you didn't necessarily see them get a bunch of burning off the edge sacks, right? But what you saw them do is when the football was ran their way, they shut down zones because they forced teams to double team them. They stayed at their spot at their offensive line, at the line of scrimmage, and then they just read and reacted. Hey, ball's going the other way. Chuck the offensive player, get into my position in my trail route. If it's coming my way, stalemate them at the line of scrimmage in zone. It's not necessarily about getting guys knocked off the ball backwards or knocked to the side. You really just can't get stalemated, right? Mm-hmm. They want to open zones and then let the running back see where the open hole is and go. They did a great job last year of sticking where they needed to be, not allowing those holes to open up, and then reading and reacting or letting their second, their linebackers or safeties come in and make those plays. That's exactly what this Atkinson kid is going to be able to do.
Number two on the list, Merod Watson, the defensive tackle from defensive tackle from Syracuse to Texas. And this is the thing. Texas brought in five defensive tackles. And we talked about prioritizing positional needs because of either transfer portal or NFL. Texas has made, in the last 2 years, four defensive tackles go day one or round two in the NFL.
Yeah, it's D-tackle you. If you're a defensive tackle,
it's where you want to go.
100%. And I don't blame anyone for wanting to do that. Sometimes
it's there or Georgia.
Like, right.
Those are the two schools you want to go to.
Right. And sometimes with some of these kids, it's not necessarily about are you going to be able to win? It's who's going to prepare you for the next level? Because, yes, you want to win, but now with a lot of the transfer portal, sometimes these kids that enter that, you are a mercenary.
And you're either going for A, money and opportunity, or B, development pipeline.
See, and to me, it should always be development pipeline, unless there's outside forces where, hey, that money then takes care of people, right? Yeah. Go where you can develop, because now you're going to be making money on your second and third NFL contracts. And so I think not only is it a smart move for like Watson to go to Texas, you're going to get more name recognition, you're going to get better coaching, but it's also smart of Texas to go, hey, instead of grabbing some young kids and saying, hey, we're going to be a little bit weak here, go grab some older kids, treat Syracuse, treat, you know, your North Texases, your UTSAs. Mm. Wherever, treat them like your farm system. The Yankees did this for years in the MLB, and obviously it's already started in college football, but I think you're going to continue to see it grow and grow, and it's just a smart move by Texas.
Number three on this list, Trevor Peña, wide receiver from Syracuse. If you're picking up a line here, yeah, a lot of defections from Syracuse, because with Kyle McCord gone, Syracuse was going to...
Well, and they were good.
McCord, he was the most productive passer in the country this last year,
100%. Like, well, and Brown had that team working as their head coach over there. Like, they were doing, they've highly exceeded what they were supposed to do. But you're also, like, this is expected. If a coach gets an opportunity, he's going to leave Syracuse. No offense to Syracuse. No. You're not a blue blood program.
You're a turnover school, and that's your lot in life on the football field. Basketball, 100%. Different story. Well, at least it used to be. but Penn State grabs Peña, and the line that's in here, it just stands out. And if you remember this game in the college football playoff, their wide receivers did not have a catch in their loss to Notre Dame. And that was because their wide receivers weren't that good. They had injuries, and Tyler Warren was the only guy that Aller could throw to. So they went out and got a guy who had 941 yards, 9 touchdowns for Syracuse last year, and an offense that just aired the freaking ball out.
This is a smart move. And honestly, I think this actually, of the first three that we've gone through, could be the most impactful because of exactly what you said. No catches by a wide receiver. And that wide receiving core was bad all freaking year long. And don't get me wrong, like, Aller has his issues, right? Yeah. There are some clear weaknesses to his game. That being said, I was very impressed with him and how he played against Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. And aside from his Ohio State game and his Notre Dame game, I was very impressed with how he played throughout the entire year, right? Like, he didn't really turn the ball over. He took risks, but he was able to thread the needle on a lot of them. And yes, some of it is because of how good Tyler Warren is. But the thing that we're not talking enough about is how good that offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, is over there. What he is doing and the different ways that he was able to find...
Trust me, I saw how he did it against USC.
Tyler Warren
was a god among men.
He snapped a ball and then scored a touchdown in that game, if I remember correctly. Yeah. He's an absolute...
Went back up the middle and nobody could find him.
Right.
There he is.
But Kotelnicki had to do all those things and get so cute because he knew he had
his
one
limits.
Guy and he was at a position where it's easier to double team and bracket cover a tight end than it is necessarily a wide receiver.
So you had to move him all over the field.
So let's bring in a stronger wide receiver core, hopefully take a couple steps up with some of the guys that were there last year that have returned.
While having a stable in the running.
And watch out because look, this Penn State team is going to be one of the favorites to win the title. They should be. And there's a lot of noise coming at Franklin for not really winning the big one. Well, guess what? Yeah, he's got two postseason wins. It's against SMU at home, and it's against Boise State. Yeah. That was a clearly inferior team. And then when you played a team that was, look, as good as Notre Dame was, they had their issues offensively. They were better offensively than you. Yeah. That's a problem.
So if you're picking up what we're putting down here, so through the first three, Ohio State, Big Ten, Texas, SEC, Penn State, Big Ten. At number four, Clemson. They're the one outlier here. And the first real big transfer portal guy for Dabo Swinney, Will Helt, another edge rusher from Purdue. And again, Purdue had some players, but this is kind of one of those situations where, hey, Dabo finally went out and did the thing. So... I'm gonna push forward here because there's another SEC team on here in Zach Branch leaving USC, a guy who in his freshman year showed some stuff where you went, this is like watching smaller Reggie Bush in the open, and you went, this guy's terrifying. Well, his second year was underwhelming, and as was USC, him and his brother both leave the program and go on to hopefully brighter pastures for them. But Georgia's a team that was very reliant on the hope of Carson Beck.
And, they had nothing offensively.
And like, and Branch, when he gets in the open field, is terrifying.
Yes.
Like, legitimately, even with the underwhelming year last year, every time he touches the ball, he's one of maybe five guys in college football who's a threat to just go.
Yeah, 100%.
And if you can add that to your team,
right,
you do that. Again, Thieneman comes in at number six. Malachi Fields, Notre Dame, wide receiver. They get a guy from Virginia because, mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have a ton of weapons. We saw it. They ran the ball. They played between the tackles. Riley Leonard was a battering ram. Well, they're going to make that change, and they're going to, hopefully, at least if you're Marcus Freeman, be a little bit more balanced offensively where you're not basically playing a slightly modernized version of Air Force versus Army.
Right, 100%. And again, for whatever reason, Penn State and Notre Dame can't get wide receivers. And if you can't identify them in high school, that's fine. You're a big enough program. Go steal them from the
left. From somebody else. Yeah, right. That's 100%.
It's a smart decision by them, so, and they had to strengthen it.
Notre Dame and Clemson are kind of the outliers here in the top 10. At number 8, LSU, Bernard Gooden, defensive lineman from South Florida, because they were gutted at that position.
They were horrible last year on defense. If they had an average defense, they're probably a postseason team.
Number 9, Isaiah Horton. They steal the wide receiver from Miami. Alabama, their number one and number two receivers were both their young guys, but those are the only two guys that Jalen Milroe threw to. So adding a third guy to it. I don't know. Does Kalen DeBoer, does he do good with multi-wide receiver sets, three wide? Has he had any success with that in the past?
I think last time that he had a crew like that, those receivers went first round, second round, third round, but right. I could be mistaken. Yeah.
And is Ryan Williams possibly the best wide receiver in the country?
I would say he's number two, and I think most people would agree with me on that, but he is... He's a really good number two.
So, again, if you're picking up, we're putting down. And then at number 10, Florida, they take the wide receiver from UCLA. Really the only guy that stood out for UCLA last year in J. Michael Certevan.
Super smart, too, because you're going to go with not a freshman QB, but a young QB in DJ Lagway, who looked awesome last year. So how do you help continue to build his confidence and continue to strike while the iron is hot with him? You surround him with even more talent on the outside, because that Florida team last year at the wide receiving core, it was fine. It wasn't great. Now let's make that position great now that you have the QB of the future, and it seems like you do in Lagway. I love that pickup as well.
All right. We'll maybe revisit the rest of this list. We dove a little deep into it, but I wanted to highlight how many of the guys in the top 25, it's Big Ten, SEC, Big Ten, SEC, Big Ten, SEC. It's just over and over and over again, and you have a smattering of the ACC with Miami, Clemson, and then there's a couple Big 12 teams with BYU and Kansas State. But you are seeing this, you know, trickle-up effect that we have talked about for the last couple of years, and it really coming to fore where guys will go play at Syracuse or UCF or these smaller schools that, while good, they get their seasoning, mm-hmm. and they go, oh, I remember the corner from Toledo that
Quinyon
Mitchell, thank you, who, you know, Nick Saban said during the NFL draft, yeah, no, we tried to get him. It was like, Nick, don't say that out loud. Like, that's not what's supposed to happen here. But you see, like, these guys have eyes everywhere, mm-hmm. and they're watching who are the guys that we could possibly go, hey, we know we're going to be short here. Let's keep an eye on this guy for the next cycle, kind of a deal. And the big teams are going out there, and this is how they reload, and this is how they restock. And yes, you develop from inside, but being able to go, hey, you're ready, come.
Right.
Perfectly with Oregon and Thieneman. Like, that's just the world that we're in now. All right, coming up next, we're going to pivot a little bit because we talked about the state legislature passing House Bill 110, greenlighting the jock tax increase for the pool of money for the potential for Portland getting a baseball team. Well, one of the teams that I think people have thought about potentially relocating, the Tampa Bay Rays, well, they appear like they may not be moving, at least out of the state of Florida, as it looks like we are progressing towards a sale and getting one of the really crappy owners out of Major League Baseball. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, it's no secret here. We hate bad owners in sports, and there's no sport in the United States that has more terrible owners than Major League Baseball. But relief might be on the way. This today from Mike Axia of CBS Sports. MLB is in advanced talks for a potential $1.7 billion deal that would reportedly keep the Tampa Bay Rays in Tampa Bay. An ownership group based out of Jacksonville, Florida, is being linked to or has signed a letter of intent to purchase the Rays, although that doesn't mean the sale is final. But remember, there was the whole ballpark stuff and trying to leverage the community. And the community was working with the Tampa Bay Rays to do what they wanted, and then they wanted more.
Well, it's classic greed. And
it's John Jay Fisher of the East Coast.
No, 100%. I mean, like, really think about this. In the MLB right now, you have two, well, one storied franchise, another one that's been fairly decent as of late, playing in, I kid you not, AAA ballparks.
The literal home of the Yankees spring training.
Yes, the
George
Rays
Steinbrenner
play.
Park.
Yes, that's where the Rays play. And here's the thing, they're gonna be there for a while. That stadium,
yeah, because of the damage to the other stadium from the hurricane.
And remember, they didn't want to fix it because they just wanted to build the new one.
Which
and
then he wanted they're going to do
more.
Yeah,
right. But he wants more. He wants the taxpayers to pay for more of it. He wants to pay for less of it, but keep more of the revenue.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that the Marlins did in Miami when they got their stadium mm-hmm. built. It was how much are you, the taxpayer, willing to pay, so that I can pay as little as possible, yet I get to keep most of that money. It's the same idea here with this owner. He's going to do as much as he can yeah. to get as much back as possible. So I couldn't be more, like, yes, I want a team in Portland. I want an MLB team here in Portland. Mm-hmm. Nothing would make me happier than finishing this shift today.
Are you kidding me? Getting off
in
there
the car and going right to the ballpark.
I'd leave my car here and just take whatever public
right.
transportation down. If my Cardinals come to town,
nothing
are you
would
kidding
be
me?
Better.
Brother.
Nothing would be better. But that being said, the state of Florida and St. Petersburg specifically, they are trying to work with this
They have a $1.3 million deal done, or billion-dollar deal done for a stadium. Like,
right.
The mayor, the city council, like, everybody's on board. They want this to happen.
They deserve to have them. So I'm glad that he's getting out, it looks like, and they're going to get an ownership group that is going to take care of
them. Here's the crazy thing. So Stu Sternberg, his name is not as synonymous as John J. Fisher because he hasn't been an asshat for 25 years. It's only been his asshattery only goes out 4 or 5 years.
And he doesn't have a movie about him.
No. And the other thing about it is,
or a book.
Yeah, the thing about the Rays are, like, they cycle up.
Yeah.
Like, do we not remember Joe Madden? Do we not remember? Like,
they run with Longoria.
They were good. Like, there were multiple teams that were really good. The same could be said about the Marlins. They win titles. Remember Dontrelle Willis, guys? They win titles, and then they sell it all off. Then they come back 15 years later, win a title, sell it all off. Like, Miggy Cabrera, like, yeah. I mean, and the thing is, Major League Baseball wants baseball in Florida because who doesn't want to go to baseball in Florida?
Right. And it's a state that you have to dominate. It's so big. There's so many different fans that are down there. It's obviously highly populated.
Loosely fans.
Well, again, they get a little bit of the California treatment, especially LA, where it's like, hey, when you're winning, they all care. But when you're not, they don't. But at the same time, you need to dominate that. You need to dominate California. You need to dominate New York. You need to dominate Texas. And you need to dominate Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the states you need to take care of. And then Boston, if you have a team there, they're just going to love it anyways. But if you can dominate those four areas, you are going to be successful. And right now, the Rays, you need a new ownership group in there so that way you can kind of bring them back to where they need to be. You can't have two teams in AAA ballparks.
No. And here's the crazy thing. Stu Sternberg bought the Rays in 2004 for $200 million.
Nice investment. Good for him.
And again, we aren't talking about a guy who bought a team like Paul Allen bought the Blazers for, was it 70 million? 75 million?
That's
in,
it?
In 88.
What a steal.
And it will sell for at least four. Maybe four and a half. That's a hell of an investment. But again, this is a guy who bought a team almost 20 years later in baseball. While the valuations are certainly smaller, buying it for 200 and selling it for 1.7, whoa nilly.
Yeah, I'm not great at math, but something tells me that you did pretty good on that come up.
Your ROI, pretty good there.
Yeah, shoot, I need to get into investing like that. I'm over here buying stocks like an idiot.
But this is a good deal for if you're a Rays fan, if you're a baseball fan, you're getting rid of another really crappy owner.
Yeah, and that's what these...
One down, five to go.
Right, and that's what these sports... And I understand that the commissioners work for the owners, and owners don't necessarily want to run owners out
unless they have to
because...
See Sterling Donald.
Right, well, slippery slope...
If you run the door for one guy out, you can get run out.
Are you going to do it for you? Right. But there comes a point in time where you are not doing what's best for the league. We are a community. We are a society where we have to work together. And especially with these ownership groups, you need to work together so that you're not being bad-mouthed. And baseball, I feel like, over the last 4 or 5 years, and maybe I'm just drinking too much of the Colin Cowherd Kool-Aid, but I do think baseball is on the rise in popularity. I think people like the game. Yeah. The changes that have been made
have all been home runs.
100%.
Not to make the joke, but like they've riveting success.
You're getting the average fan in, and you have a lot of stars in big key markets that people want to pay attention to, and Florida can be one of those markets where when they are doing well, see the NHL, people seem to care and tune in a little bit more, right? And so can you get a new owner in there that's going to...
Not just be god-awful.
And,
like, the
and
bar
pay.
Isn't that high. Just not be god-awful.
Just try.
Yeah.
Just try. Don't run it like you're trying to...
Or the Pirates or the Reds or, hell, the Mariners.
Right. Don't run it also like you're trying to squeeze every last little bit of monetary value out of it. Understand that you are going to make money, but
it's
also
almost
don't
impossible
be afraid
to
spend.
Not make money.
Yes. Yes. 100%. You don't need to make every single dollar. Greed isn't always good. I've seen the trailer to Wall Street.
There you go. All right, mild programming note, Dave Bartu was indeed listening in our last college football segment. He will join us at 2:30 to dive deeper into that transfer data that I was talking about. He texted me and said, I'll read his text. I'm sure he's okay with this. He says, I've got all the transfer data over 23 to 25. I can show you the shifts, not only total, but pre and post spring numbers. So we can get the actual data behind what's been the driving force of college football over the last couple of years. But coming up next, we have our worst day on the web, and... if you're woken up and found out that you're married?
Not yet.
No?
Not yet.
You're hoping for it. But it happened to one guy.
Depends on who she is.
Why the hell this happened? We'll get to that next. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
Well, there's surprises and there's surprises. This comes from Beverly Hills, Texas.
Ah,
the famous Beverly Hills that everybody knows and loves in Texas.
The redheaded stepchild of the other.
Well, they are. Texas is older, so maybe they had it first.
You think that's possible?
I think it's probably pretty likely, to be honest. But what? It's also kind of funny because if you've ever been to Texas, they don't have hills.
Yeah, so why are
there hills
Beverly
on the border? That's about the state of the hills in Texas.
Not to derail this segment, but I do find it hilarious, and we do this too, where you take like a bigger named city and you have a bad name for that state. So my example of this would be like Dallas, Oregon. Or Paris, Texas, if you will. Beverly
Moscow,
Hills, Texas.
Idaho.
Moscow, Idaho.
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, but we're bigger now, yeah. So we kind of
better one.
Run.
Sure, but I mean, that was well-established. I mean, here's another one.
It was
one.
Established first,
New
but
York
improved.
Was
yeah.
New York.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't it Amsterdam at one point? It was New Amsterdam? Was that New York?
I don't know.
There was.
Might have been like one of the possibilities when they were naming the city, but
yeah. I was gonna say, I know when the Dutch settled there was a Amsterdam, a new Amsterdam
sense.
Type deal,
but yeah, we're not very ingenious with our
we're not very original
names. No,
it's not something we do.
We
so
do often. The city of Beverly Hills, Texas was incorporated in 1939. I would imagine that is before Beverly Hills, California.
Yes. Also, New Amsterdam, the original name for New York City.
Beverly Hills, California was indeed incorporated first. 1914.
Eat that, Texas.
Ah, so there we go.
California known for their hills. Also, by the way, New Amsterdam, the original name for New York City, settled by Dutch settlers in 1626.
Ah, freaky deaky Dutch got their butts kicked, and that's what
then
happens.
It became New York, so look at that.
But this story from Beverly Hills, Texas, a 36-year-old Texas woman is being held on felony stalking charges because she held a wedding without the groom present. Now, there was a clergy, religious, anointed, whatever figure, got their marriage degree online, or marriage blessing thing online, that greenlit this, and that name is being withheld. I'm sure he's going to be wrapped up in some hell.
This but rocks.
The Beverly Hills police chief in Beverly Hills, Texas, was contacted by a 42-year-old man last Friday who said he found a package from his ex-girlfriend. This woman was indeed his ex-girlfriend, that included a copy of his marriage certificate showing he was indeed married. The victim told police he had a relationship with the suspect and they had gotten a marriage license around June 2nd, but had broken up before the wedding took place. The chief said the investigation determined that the woman had convinced a pastor to certify the marriage without the groom being present. How the hell does that happen?
Hey, no, he really wants to marry me. Trust me.
Trust me, bro.
That's exactly what she did. I can't believe that someone thought that this would work. I understand that, like, hey, there are crazy people out there. And let's call a spade here. I think if you try and marry someone without their consent, that's probably crazy. I love that she thought it would then make him fall in love with her. Like, I know you didn't know how much I loved you before, but now that we're married, you'll love me more.
Yeah. So this is absolutely badass crazy. I don't like,
it's insane.
Number one, like, no, we're getting married. Number two, finding somebody to sign off on this and then actually doing it. Those feel like three separate things to me. Like,
how much money did she have to pay him? Or is that a family member? Is that like her dad?
Well, the name of the person has not yet been released.
That's got to be a family member, right?
Or a friend or something.
It's got to be someone close, like close enough to where they're around her a lot and understand or have a lack of understanding, but not too much of an understanding, if that makes sense. Like, knows that there's a dude that she wants to marry and that she dated, but is out of the loop enough to where they got, where they broke up, or that they're not together anymore.
This is, I mean, look, again, they did receive the original marriage license that they didn't sign on June 2nd. So this is only a 2-week period, but like, apparently the crazy was apparent to this dude. And he was like, no, we're not going to go through with this. I'm out. I like, obviously this woman is unstable, but what had to happen for you to be like, no, we're going to get married. And then for you to be like, I'm out.
Maybe she got a gift that she couldn't return.
Oh, the wedding registry, huh?
Yeah. She's like,
or she got something she really liked. And she's like, I can't give this back. Look, man, Rust and I have talked about this. The bougie rice cooker that pre-measures the water based on the amount of rice you have in the container. Go ahead, Rust. I see you bringing it up.
Oh, wait, this is a real thing.
Oh yeah.
It's badass.
Go ahead and fill people in.
Yeah. So you got, it's basically like a Keurig style rice cooker. So you got the water tank on there. Separate from the cooking.
So it's already
part.
Filled.
Yeah. And so it has a scale in there. It weighs how much rice or beans or whatever, what have you, you're going to cook in there, and knows by that how much water to dispense.
So this is like the Traeger with Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's smart cooking.
Well,
like, that way your rice isn't too soggy or too dry. Right. You're like, because I make rice 3 times a week, if not more. And I do it very simply. I've got a rice cooker that I don't, for whatever reason, I don't use as often. It's just a regular old rice cooker. I've had one of these things forever. Probably since I was in the Air Force. I've had one version of this. It's just a black container with a screw on lid. That has holes poked in the top to let the steam out.
Yeah.
And I just microwave it. And I know how trashy that is.
I microwave my rice.
I get it.
You're good.
No, we have a microwave rice cooker at home too.
Yeah. But like, I literally just, I do, you know, 3 cups of rice, 3 cups of water, because it's 1-to-1.
Right.
Throw it in the microwave for 10 minutes and.
There we go. We're good to go.
What I end up doing is I eat a little bit of that rice that night, and the rest of it, I make fried rice the next day.
Nice. Classic.
Anybody who doesn't know this secret, if you want the best fried rice, use day-old rice.
Is it just something with the taste?
It's not just the taste. It's that, like, if you put it in the fridge, it's not dry, but a lot of the moisture is gone, so it won't burn, but it'll get that, like, you'll get a couple of
it'll
those kernels
crisp.
That get that crisp in it, and it's just picture perfect.
Something about it. I love, personally, back in the day, the old O-line meal, a little Spam eggs and rice.
Oh, yeah.
Just load it up, chop up some Spam, on purpose burn the Spam. That's how I was taught.
Yeah.
To cook it, burn it a little bit so there's a little crunch, a little spice, throw a little hot sauce on there. Ironically enough, I was actually on a phone call today with a buddy of mine who is getting married, and he is vaguely aware that I have gotten him a gift, and he is now aware.
Is this on your own or registry?
No, this is on my own. I'll buy him. What I do, and I know I'm young and it's kind of lame, I purchase something on the honeymoon. I don't buy a ladle. I don't care about your ladles. I'm not going to buy you a gravy boat. You're never going to use the gravy boat. My parents still have the china that they got from their wedding, and it's fine china.
Look, it's nice to have and to look at.
You don't
never,
use it.
ever use it.
Right. So I'm not about that. I will look onto the honeymoon registry, and it's like, hey, we want to go have a spa day. I'll buy that.
Oh,
or,
yeah, there you go.
Hey, we want to have a massage on the beach. Boom. Throw down $50.
I've never seen the
$100 to take care of that.
The honeymoon registry.
It's a young kid thing.
I like that.
There is not a single person my age that I have gone to their wedding where there was not a honeymoon registry thing. And I will always chip in for something that can go on at the honeymoon. For my brother and his wife, I made an attempt to purchase tickets that through a non-reputable source may or may not have been taken from us. We did get the money back. Yeah, I'm really mad about it still. But anyways, so I wonder if she got a gift that was so good. Like my buddy, he knows that he's getting a really nice gift from me. I think he'd have to go through with the wedding, even if someone tried to call it off.
You're like, hey, we're gonna do this. Like, I can see the motivation here.
Yeah, like sometimes, look, there was a show called Bridezilla years, and it was popular and people loved it. She might just be a Bridezilla and wanted to keep some of her gifts.
I get it. It's a very, very sad, weird, twisted place, and I want no part of it. But also, people like things.
Yeah, that's why I'm not married. I don't want to deal with this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
not fun. Had to stay far away.
That's for sure. All right, coming up next, the fate of Tyrese Haliburton and the Indiana Pacers hangs in the balance. We'll get into that next here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Jim Sharania with breaking news less than a minute ago. The Los Angeles Lakers are being sold. This should not come as a surprise to anybody who pays attention to the NBA. I've talked about this for ever since I've really been on the show, and we talk about ownership in the NBA and the lack of funding for certain teams. Jeannie Buss and the ownership group there, they have sold off parts of the team through multiple different, not necessarily eras, but periods. Jeannie Buss and the Buss family, while Dr. Buss bought into the team and took it to the glorious runs that it had, particularly with the infusion of Magic Johnson after, obviously, the Kareem years, or during the Kareem years, as it were. But they do not have the cash flow necessary to compete. Around the NBA, it was always the joke of the broke boy Lakers. They make more money than God. You know, they have $100+ million television deal with Spectrum Sports. You know, right? It shatters every other regional rights fee that any team has. I had somebody in the NBA world told me when I brought up $100 million, he's like, it's more than that. Because, but you can safely say it's $100 million. I've heard up to like $130 million a year.
Wow!
Because that's how big the brand is. They're the Los Angeles Lakers are the biggest brand of basketball in the world.
Oh, 100%.
Bar none, not even close. Nobody comes close. You can go anywhere in the world and find a Kobe Bryant or a Shaquille O'Neal or LeBron James jersey with the Lakers. Like it is what it is. And now with Luka Doncic being the face of the Lakers,
now it's really expanded.
Big deal. I would imagine, because I believe the valuation on the Lakers was a roughly 9.5 on the last one.
If they sold, like, she's selling a majority stake, is she selling all of it, right? Because if you say majority stake, she's going to hold on to it.
She's still going to be the operating governor after the sale. I can never remember what the majority.
I would assume she'd have to sell at least 51%.
No, it's lower than that. This says 50%, but it's Maybe it's the line for governorship. I think for governorship, you have to have over 15%.
Okay.
So I think that's what it is. There's a, when you say majority stake, yes, it's 50, 51%. But for governorship, you have to maintain a certain number. I think it's 15. I'll look it up during the break. I can't remember what it was. The number that I was thinking of, it was not the Lakers. The valuation is higher on the Warriors because of playing in San Francisco in the brand new arena. Like, that's, they're at $9.4 billion. The Lakers are at $7
billion. Gotcha.
But again, the Lakers are one of the most valuable sports franchises in the entire world. And I would imagine that if you're selling off 51%, let's just use that as the marker, that majority sale is probably $5.5 to $6 billion.
Wow. Wow.
I would imagine it's above market rate.
So this is going to be the largest sale, right? Is this going to beat the Celtics? Celtics was six. So because she wants to maintain a partial ownership stake to continue to be the governor, she has to.
It prints money.
Right.
That's why you don't want to sell all of it.
No, 100%. Like, that's why with some of the sales stuff with, like, the Blazers, it's why it was smart for the Allens to wait. Don't sell it right away. Hold on to it as you're removing all the other aspects of his estate, right? When Paul died, Burt Cold and Jody Allen and the rest of that staff had to sell things off. It made sense to the Blazers and the Seahawks, because my understanding is she still has to sell them off as well, is to wait until the very last moment, because they will be exponentially more valuable the longer that you hold on to them. And that has been proven in basically every sale. There's never been an owner so far in any sport that has bought a franchise or bought a team and then sold them at a loss. That just doesn't happen.
And we do know who they're being sold to. Mark Walter, the CEO and chairman of diversified holding company TWG Global. And if you've heard that before,
it's Phil's group, isn't it, that sponsor him?
Well,
this is not Phil's?
Yes, but they also own the majority share of the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is a guy with infinitely deep pockets.
Ah, so this Magic's guy owns, coming back?
These guys own LA Sports, Dodgers and Lakers.
Wow.
And they have, look at the way the Dodgers are spending.
Yeah, no, this is huge then if you're a Lakers fan. This is huge if you're a Dodger fan, because they are an ownership group that, one, isn't afraid to spend money, but more importantly, they spend money in a smarter way than everyone else. What are the Dodgers doing right now when they spend money? Look at the Shohei deal. Look at Mookie's deal. Look at Freddie Freeman's deal. Everything is put off, right? So you're still getting paid right now, and you're getting paid an absorbent amount of money, but in 20 years, we're going to be talking about it being Freddie Freeman Day or Shohei Ohtani Day or Mookie Betts Day, because they have a bunch of deferred payments that they have to do, and they're taking advantage of a rule that the MLB allows them to take advantage of. I'll tell you right now, if I'm a Laker fan, I'm excited to the moon, because while I can't have those deferred payments in the NBA, if there is going to be a group that finds that wiggle room, we just talked about it with the Panthers.
The Lakers are not a team that consistently are in the tax or in the apron. The joke has always been they operate like a mom and pop shop, but that's just not the era that we're in. You have to have the pockets necessary. We've talked about how, particularly Victor Wembanyama, when he comes up for his ninth year, if everything goes according to plan, will very likely be $100 million a year player. And when you have that kind of money on a contract, you have to be able to put that money in an escrow account to account for that salary. Mm-hmm. So you have to have liquid cash in orders of magnitude larger than the Buss family could anywhere come close to. Now, the Guggenheim Group, which is TWG, Mark Walter is the founder of, they already had partial control of the Lakers. The Guggenheim Group was, I believe they were the second largest shareholder of the Lakers.
Gotcha.
His most recent valuation, according to Fortune, at least confirmed valuation, is net worth of upwards of $12 billion. And now there's other controlling partners in here. I believe there's a group from China that also has a stake in the Lakers as well. That has infinitely deep pockets. So you are now talking about the Lakers going from a mom and pop shop to a thoroughly motivated, very financially deep ownership group, and that should scare the living crap out of the NBA.
No, 100%.
And I don't mean like the NBA is a league. I mean the other teams. This is a problem.
Well, and again, like I had said earlier, they are smart. They've shown that not only are they willing to spend money, they're willing to find loopholes and take advantage of those loopholes to spend even more money. The Florida Panthers just won an NHL title doing that same thing. If you look at the MLB, the Dodgers just won an MLB title doing the same thing, where they found a loophole and took advantage of it. A loophole that either other teams refuse to take advantage of or refuse to know about and didn't do enough research to know about. If there is going to be an ownership group that not only is willing to spend but also take advantage in spots that other teams don't find or aren't willing to take advantage of, it is this crew. This is Mr. LA. You talked about him owning the Dodgers. He also owns the Los Angeles Sparks. He owns a Formula One team. He's not afraid to spend
money.
This is a guy.
He has money. He's not only that, this is a sports guy.
Yes.
Who gets it. He hires the right people to run things and do things the way that they need to be done.
If you were a Lakers fan right now,
you should be ecstatic.
Yep.
God, I hate this. This is terrifying for the rest of the NBA, but it's very good for the NBA in that you have another owner who is going to write checks, who is going to push, who's going to do the things necessary to be competitive in the best market in the NBA.
Now, I think the most important question that we need to answer at the top of next hour: how does this affect LeBron's legacy?
Yeah. That'll get talked on the four letter here very quickly, I'm sure. Unfortunately, that's the world we're in. But let's go ahead and pivot. Let's go back to the world of football, and we'll do a coin toss in the break. We'll go either college football or NFL, because we've got a couple different storylines that I want to dive into. And remember, we've got Dave Bartu hopping on at 2:30. We'll get to that and more here in hour number three on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.